Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The title of our message today is The Indescribable Gift. But let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh, loving Father, You are perfectly holy, righteous, good in every way. And Lord, we are not. So who are we that You are mindful of us? Who are we that You would go to such great lengths to save us, that You would give us the perfect gift? Lord, our desire is to hear from heaven. Our heart's cry is that Your Holy Spirit would turn our hearts to You. Help us to commune with You. Help us to worship You in a manner that You are worthy of. We pray that You would guide our hearts and minds and show us, Lord, the depth of Your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I love the Christmas time of year. I love the snow. Maybe you don't, but I remember years of living in San Diego, California, where there was no snow, and to me it just wasn't Christmas. I love to have the snow. I love the lights. I love it when people put lights on their houses, out in their yards, and especially as it shines so bright in the snow. And I even love the giving of gifts and the receiving of gifts. It's all a part of this time of year. And yet we know, don't we, that Christmas is not about snow. It's not about lights. It's not even about the gifts that we give to each other. And so why is it then that we spend so much time trying to find just that perfect gift for that special someone in our lives? Well, I don't have the answer to that question, but let me ask you another question. Have you ever received an indescribable gift? I don't even know what an indescribable gift would look like. And I've spent a lot of time over the last several weeks thinking about that question. I mean, what would it take for a gift to truly be indescribable? Would it be the kind of gift that you open up and you go, wow, that's exactly what I was looking for? What is it? Would that make it an indescribable gift? Or perhaps it might be the kind of gift that has a lot of emotions and feelings that come along with it because it came from that special someone in your life. Or maybe it's the kind of gift that comes to you as a complete surprise. I've received those kinds of gifts in the past where you open that gift up and you go, wow, I never thought that I needed that. But that is an awesome gift. Thank you so much. Is that what it would take to be an indescribable gift? Or maybe it's the kind of gift that is a real treasure to you because along with it comes memories of that person that gave that gift to you. It's something that reminds you of them. Is that what it would take to be an indescribable gift? Or perhaps it's the kind of gift that you get and it's the gift that you don't even want to think about. You don't even want to spend 1 minute trying to describe that gift? Is that what it would take to be an indescribable gift? A couple of weeks ago, I was sitting in the repair shop waiting for the oil to be changed in my car, and there was a television in the waiting area there, and there was a television program on called Good Morning America. And in that program, they were trying to give gift-giving ideas to the audience, and someone came up with a list of indescribable gifts. They were extraordinary gifts that you might want to include in your next year's gift-giving ideas. The first gift that they described that was to be indescribable was a Jaguar automobile. It was the Jaguar 220. And if you had a desire to buy one of those for yourself, or you had a special someone in your life that you wanted to get one of those for, you could go down to your local Jaguar dealer and you could lay down the $80,000 deposit and order one in your favorite color. And then when that automobile arrived, you could pay the remaining $507,000 and you could have yourself a Jaguar 220. It would certainly be a special gift because they only make 250 of them per year. It would possibly be an indescribable gift. You might decide to express your indescribable love and appreciation for that special someone in your life, perhaps your pastor. And I assure you, if you got me a Jaguar 220, I promise you that I would be a very gracious recipient, although I have to warn you ahead of time, I might not be able to describe the feeling at that moment. It might be an indescribable gift. The second item that they had on their list of interest was some car wax. If you bought a Jaguar 220, you might need some car wax, but this was no ordinary car wax. This was a very special car wax that they promised would give your car the ultimate shine. Just lay down a mere $3,400 and you could purchase an 8-ounce can designed to give your automobile the ultimate shine. It might be the indescribable gift. The third thing on their list of items that they offered was a $300,000 toilet seat engraved in gold and precious gems and jewels, probably something that every household needs. Of course, they had gifts that were of a little lesser value, but still had something for everyone. They had an $18,000 Frisbee, a $10,000 yo-yo, a $12,000 mousetrap, and $27,000 eyeglasses. Of course, if you're the very proud grandparent of that special grandchild, you might consider the $28,000 pacifier. Such gifts stagger our imagination. But I assure you, they are not indescribable gifts. Even though you may not have the words to express your gratitude for receiving such a gift, I assure you that the manufacturers will be able to describe it to you. In fact, they spend a lot of money each year in advertising in the television stations and the newspapers and magazines, and they spend a lot of effort trying to appeal to you and entice you into believing that you just have to have that gift. You see, brothers and sisters, every human gift is describable by someone. You have your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The Apostle Paul is talking about human gifts, and he is talking about how the Corinthians were bringing together an offering that they were going to take and give to the poor people of Jerusalem. And then Paul commends them for their eagerness and their willingness to give, and he reminds them that if you sow sparingly, you are going to reap sparingly. And then he shifts his attention away from human gifts to the gift of God by sending his Son Jesus Christ to the earth. And all of a sudden, Paul can't seem to find the words. And he says to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, "Thanks be to God for the indescribable gift." At this time of year, we try and do everything that we can to depict the wonderfulness of the gift of God in Jesus Christ. Musicians have composed some of the greatest music that our ears have ever heard. Things like Handel's Messiah and Bach's Christmas Oratorio. And who can forget about some of those wonderful hymns that we sing, like Joy to the World, Silent Night, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Poets and painters and scholars have taken up the tools of their trade to pay tribute to Jesus, the gift of God's love. Some of the greatest music that we have ever heard has been about God's indescribable gift. And Paul says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." Now I ask you the question, why do you think that Paul describes Jesus as the indescribable gift? I'm going to suggest to you there are at least four reasons. There may be more. But that first reason, I think, that Paul calls Jesus the indescribable gift is because of His nature. How do you describe Jesus? What words would you use to describe a baby born of a virgin? How would you describe God in the flesh, walking amongst His people, reaching out to the hurting masses of society? In our scripture reading this morning, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, Jesus tried to describe that gift. His name shall be Emmanuel, which means God is with us. How do you describe that? What words would you choose? How do you describe what is spirit when the only thing that we have ever known is the physical and the material world? How do you describe a God who has all knowledge when all we have is limited knowledge? How do you describe an all-powerful God? How do you describe an eternal God? How do you describe the indescribable? Paul says, we can't. Words are not adequate. But you know, some of the wisest men that the world has ever had have tried to do it. I want to give you an example of that. I'd like you to notice what the Council of Chalcedon in 1451 said. These are the greatest theological minds of their time that have come together, and they have tried to describe Jesus, and notice what they said. He is perfect in Godhead and also perfect in manhood. Truly man of a reasonable, rational soul and body, consubstantial, coessential with the Father according to the manhood, in all things like unto us without sin, begotten before all ages of the Father according to the Godhead, and in these latter times for us and for our salvation, born of the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God according to the manhood, one and the same, Christ, Son, Lord, only begotten, to be acknowledged in two natures, inconfusibly, unchangeably, indivisibly, inseparably, and a distinction of natures being by no means taken away by union, but rather the property of each nature being preserved. Wow! Did you get all that? It's okay if you didn't, neither did I. But that is man's attempt to describe the indescribable. When we bring together our greatest minds and our most extensive vocabulary, we still cannot adequately describe the indescribable gift of Jesus. Second, I think that Paul refers to Jesus as the indescribable gift because of the purpose in His coming to earth. The angels of God announced to the shepherds, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Brothers and sisters, why do we celebrate Christmas? Is it not the fact that Jesus came to this world to save sinners like you and me? God saw that mankind needed saving. God saw that man is inhumane towards his fellow man. Do you remember the great hope that we had for peace when the Berlin Wall came down? Do you remember the hope that we had for peace at the breakup of the Soviet Union? And yet ever since then, the world has still been shattered with war. We may have peace treaties between the greatest nations in the world, but these treaties will never ensure peace because the heart of man has not changed. When God looked at our world, He knew that our greatest need was not more wealth. He knew that our greatest need wasn't a better education system. He knew that our greatest need wasn't a better welfare system or a better retirement system. He knew that our greatest need was for a Savior. There will never be peace on earth until men have been lifted up out of their sin and their hearts have been changed, their way of thinking has been changed because they have received the indescribable gift. Our greatest need is to be saved from the very flames of hell. How do you describe that? How do you put into words what God has done by sending His only begotten Son, the indescribable gift? I think that God's gift to us, that indescribable gift of Jesus, is indescribable because of His nature. It is indescribable because of His purpose in coming to this earth. And third, it is indescribable because of the grace that we receive in Jesus. Every gift that I give, that I have ever given, will be given to a recipient that has some claim on me. I hope that you're not offended by me saying that. But I'm just trying to be honest. I give gifts to my wife and to my children and grandchildren because they're a part of my family. They have a claim on me. I have a claim on them. And if I buy a gift for you and you are not a part of my family, it's probably because you bought me a gift last year and I didn't get you one, and so now I owe you one. Brothers and sisters, don't shake your heads at me. Be honest with me. Be honest with me, how many of you sent a Christmas card to someone this year because they sent you one? Yes, there's an honest man in the back. Because, brothers and sisters, if we feed the hungry, if we clothe those who are naked, if we take care of the homeless, we do it because we deep down inside have some sense of accountability, some debt to humanity. We have an obligation. But that's what makes the gift of God so special, because God doesn't owe you anything. In fact, we have been in constant rebellion against God and His will for our lives. And with that in mind, the Apostle Paul says something incredible, remarkable. In Romans chapter 5, verse 10, he says, "Yet while you were still in your sin, yet while we were enemies with God, Christ died on the cross for you." God gave this gift not because He feels obligated to do so, but because of His overwhelming love for you. It is a gift of grace. And when you stop at the manger of Bethlehem and you look at the Christ child, you are looking at God's grace, the indescribable gift of grace. And words are not adequate to describe that. I think the fourth reason that Paul refers to Jesus as the indescribable gift is because of the effect that He has on us. Think back of all of the gifts that you have ever received in your lifetime. And I ask you, when you received that gift, when you opened that gift, did that gift somehow miraculously change you? Were you somehow different than you were before? Perhaps there might be something that we've received at some point where we could say that it helped us, or it might have changed us for a moment, for a time, but it has ever completely and utterly changed you. Or are you going to continue to be as you have always been? But the Bible teaches us that when you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, when you ask Him to be your Lord and Savior, to forgive you of your sins, and when He comes into your life, He changes you. You are no longer the same. In fact, He gives us five gifts within the gift. Or at least five, you may think of more. The first effect of Jesus coming into your heart and your obedience to Him is that you are now forgiven of your sins. It is a gift within the gift. Now you may say to me, "Well, that's so old and so elementary, Pastor, that we don't need to hear that." But please, brothers and sisters, don't cast it away so quickly. Because when Jesus Christ forgives you, your sins are forever gone. They are thrown as far as the east is from the west. They are put into the deepest of the oceans, and He remembers them no more. Jesus is now your Savior. You are forgiven. You are precious. You are cherished in His sight. When you accept Jesus Christ in your life, the gift within the gift, the second is an indescribable gift of being adopted into the family of God. You are guaranteed citizenship in His kingdom. Before, you were an alien, you were a stranger, you were separated from God. But now you have been accepted by Him. You are adopted into the family of God. And everything that belongs to Jesus Christ now belongs to you. We are brothers and sisters in the family of God. It is an indescribable gift. The third gift within the gift is the reception of the Holy Spirit. When you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, the Holy Spirit, which is in the world and convicting the world, now comes and takes up residence on the inside. And He guides you. He counsels you. He protects you. He teaches you. And He empowers you to live for God. It is a gift. The fourth gift within the gift is now, when you ask Christ into your life, now you can have peace. I'm not talking about the peace that the world has to offer, but I'm talking about the peace of God, which passes all human understanding. A peace that comes into your life that even though your life is unraveling, even though everything is going and turning upside down, even though you have trials and tribulations and difficulties in your life, you can have peace because you trust in the God who gave you an indescribable gift. Peace that allows you to look beyond the temporary things of this world and look to the eternal, to see a perfect picture of a perfect God who gave you a perfect and indescribable gift. And the fifth gift within the gift, that indescribable gift of Jesus, is now that your mansion in heaven is paid for. The dwelling place that God has designed for you that is going to last for all of eternity, that too is an indescribable gift. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive the things that God has planned for you. If you will receive that indescribable gift. Now, brothers and sisters, I knew that when I started this afternoon to try to describe to you the indescribable gift, I knew that I was going to fail because someone tried to do it before me and he's a lot better at it than I am. And so the Apostle Paul says to us, we cannot describe Him. All we can do is fall down on our knees and thank God for His indescribable gift. When God looked down at our world over 2,000 years ago, He saw the Roman soldiers walking in the streets. He saw the people looking for peace and meaning in their lives. And He wanted so urgently to communicate His love to us. How do you do that? How can God communicate His love to us if He appeared in all of His glory? It would scare everyone. It would frighten everyone away. And He's thinking, they will never feel like they can come to Me and talk to Me. They will be much like the people in the days of Moses. Remember when the children of Israel were standing on the foot of the Mount Sinai and God spoke to them and the thunder and the pealings of lightning, and the people were afraid and they said to Moses, you go and talk to God and come back and tell us what He said and we'll do whatever He says. Only tell Him not to talk to us again. It's too frightening. God must have thought, If I speak to them, they will hear the pealings of the thunder of My voice and they will never grasp My love. If I send down legions of angels, perhaps they won't know how to respond. Maybe they will never be able to experience My love. How do you describe something that is indescribable? God must have said, I know. I'll send them My Son as a baby. Babies aren't frightening. Babies are tender and soft and helpless. Maybe they will hold the baby in their arms. Maybe they will touch the soft skin of the baby. Maybe they will hear the soft sounds of the baby, maybe they will experience my love in the indescribable gift of a baby. And so the Bible tells us that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, indescribable. But brothers and sisters, the good news for you and me is we don't have to describe the indescribable. We only have to receive the indescribable gift. Ask Him to come into your heart, to be your Lord and Savior, to forgive you of your sins, to give you eternal life, to give you that mansion prepared for you in heaven. All we have to do is receive it. I want you to imagine for a moment that I gave you a gift. Okay, you'll owe me one next year. But if I give you a gift and it's wrapped in beautiful paper, it has incredible ribbons and bows, and it has your name on it, and you take that gift home and you set it on your kitchen table, and every day you walk by that gift and you go, oh yeah, there's that gift from Pastor Rod, but you never open it. That gift is of no value to you. The Bible tells us that Christ died for everyone, but not everyone will be saved. Because there are some who will refuse to receive the indescribable gift. There are some who will say, no, thank you. I'm going to go my own way. I want to do my own thing. I don't need you. Brothers and sisters, that breaks the heart of God. And it should break our heart as well. There are so many who are lost and dying because they refuse to receive that indescribable gift. I know that most everyone here today has at some point in their life received that gift. But perhaps there's someone here today who has never asked Christ into their life, has never received that indescribable gift, and you want to do it today, I want to ask you, stand up. Perhaps you've fallen away and you want to return and you want to make a new commitment to Christ, then stand up. I'm not asking to stand up just to stand up. It's a special call. If you've never given your heart to the Lord, or if you've fallen away and you want to come back and receive that indescribable gift, then stand up now. I want to give everyone an opportunity. Anyone within the hearing of my voice, if you want to make that commitment, make it now. And let's pray. Father in heaven, oh Lord, you see those who are standing. You know every heart and every mind. Lord, we want to receive the most incredible gift ever given. There's nothing that can compare. And Lord, our prayer is that you would receive us into your family. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, help us to follow you all the way to heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.